And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Really enjoyed our time yesterday at 3rd and Home at First Horizon Park as the Sounds had their first homestand of the season. It's been over 600 days since they've hosted a game there at First Horizon Park. And unfortunately, it was did not go their way against Memphis. They got roughed up by the Redbirds. But nonetheless, baseball is back. So, guys, how we doing?
Doing well. We got to get the Sounds pitchers together there. They're hitting it pretty well, but they're giving up a lot. So
yes, they did. Like 18 runs.
It's early. Good at going here.
Not good. Little, Josh?
Is that bad?
Is this bad? Is this bad? We in the trust tree? Is this bad?
Good shot. The jugular, man. Is that bad? Is it bad?
I'm doing great.
Things got away. Let's just say that. Josh Heupel will join us in about 3-4 minutes. Our first opportunity to talk to new UT head football coach, Josh Heupel. So he should be joining us here very shortly. We're excited about that, and his first time on this radio station, I believe, right?
First Tennessee football coach on this radio station since Butch Jones.
Since Butch Jones, yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's, and
there's that. You went a step further, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
There was a shutout.
Oh, there was a shutout. Yeah.
And not the kind where you get the free donut. You know, at Dunkin' Donuts, not that kind of shutout.
It's the only shutout he really had. But
wow! Oh! Hello,
this is on.
Zing, 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 zing.
The top rope.
Listen,
hey, A&E really appreciates that. Okay,
yeah, hey, we'll do a documentary.
They'll turn that into a documentary. Okay,
they will.
They will. We get shut out by old JP.
I know, but we asked, and he wouldn't say all right. Yeah, I thought he'd say all right.
Never said all right.
No. I mean, Nikki does.
All it took was just – all he had to do was one time just go all right. Because you're right. Little Nikki has said all right many times on this show, on this radio station. Little Nikki's been on here many, many times. JP, not so much. Couldn't get him.
We get JP Dumont. But not
right. We have had JP. Pruitt. We've had JPs on, just not Jeremy Pruitt's.
Yeah. But I'm good. Got old shot number two yesterday. So
all right. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. The arm is swollen.
I thought that was today. That's right. It was yesterday.
No,
okay.
It was yesterday. The arm is swollen, a little sore. But other than that, I've been fine.
Yeah. Got some ice on it?
No ice. No ice. Just powering through.
Tylenol?
Yes, been doing some Tylenol, been drinking lots of water.
There we go.
So trying to get people have warned me that I'm still in the good stage and that it could hit me. But, Willie, you didn't have any issues, right?
No, I mean, I could feel it, and I did have a little stiffness in my arm where I got the shot. But, you know, nothing that slowed me down.
I'm a little tired.
Like, if you have a chance, if you have the ability to kind of rest, you're going to be a little fatigued for a day. But I think if you've got stuff going on and you say, boy, I don't know, will I be able to do this? Will I be able to go to work? I think the answer is yes. In most cases, you know, it's different for everybody. There are some people that have told me that they had to step back for a day. But
well, Elijah, you went like 10 rounds in the ring, didn't you?
Yeah, I woke up at like 3 a.m. with a fever of like 100. So I broke a pretty good fever the next morning.
People have had reactions for sure. But
so far, I'm good.
So. Good. Good. Yeah, mine's Friday morning, round two.
Progressing. I love it. Let's keeping it moving.
I wish I could read Robbie's text, but I'm not going to.
Why not?
Yeah.
He won't get in trouble. It's all right. Come on. He's going to the Grand Canyon. What does he care?
He is.
Have a talk with Robbie and Rex Rode. I think Rex Rode's in my corner. I'm with him. But Adam is a little confused on timeline of some of the bands. You know, post-grunge, what's real grunge. He's throwing out bands. Big difference in some of them. But that's a discussion for another day.
I think I missed
like
that
Creed discussion. And Bush are not in the same category, even though they are one word bands. That's where the comparison ends.
Yeah, no, they are not.
Yeah,
they're different genres.
Yeah,
he was talking about grunge and post grunge, and you know he was floating. Now he floated out like 6 or 7 different bands, most of which had one word. That's what Adam was funny about it. It's like the Steven Seagal movies, right? They all sound the same.
Yeah, Bart and he had kill. The audacity to ask, you know, if Soundgarden was cool. And
luckily, see, now that's where luckily Joe, on that. Soundgarden is original. They are the original.
Like
grunge.
He tried to throw Soundgarden. I mean, yeah. I'm glad Joe put it.
Soundgarden and Creed. So, yeah, it's not even close.
Come on,
we consider Soundgarden to be grunge because, like, I think a little bit heavier with grunge. Like Nirvana is grunge. Nirvana kind of invented grunge.
Well, Nirvana and Soundgarden are both cut from the same cloth,
same
area, Seattle. So I mean, that's grunge to me. That's grunge. That's flannel shirts. That's when it came out, early 90s.
Actually, I say they invented grunge. I mean, well, are the Sex Pistols considered grunge, or is that like
Sex Pistols? That's like 1970s.
Is that punk?
Okay,
yeah, that's punk.
All right.
Punk rock.
History of rock and roll. I'll get you. I got a big book.
They'll take you to Cleveland, Chase. They'll take you to Cleveland.
I'd love to go to Cleveland.
Darren, I've known you for almost 10 years and been wanting to go to Cleveland, and it hasn't happened yet. So
we will do that, and we will go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Darren, Chase just went into like a 3-decade time warp on us. We're talking like early 90s grunge, and then he throws the Sex Pistols.
Well, listen.
Joe just went off the road, I think.
As you guys know, a lot of the music of your era, I like. Like the good stuff.
You're a music appreciation guy, Chase. That's why we like you.
But every now and then, I do, I do, maybe mix some things up a little bit. We had the George Michael Wham controversy with Careless Whisper.
Right. We had to set you straight, us historians,
and that's
who were
fine.
Alive in the decade.
That's fine.
And thriving in the decade.
Yeah, it's all good. Where's Josh Heupel?
Coach Heupel, do you like the Sex
Pistols?
Where are you?
Calling Coach Heupel. By the way, David Poyle yesterday on our show said he believes that game one will be on Monday. That's what he believes it'll be. Isn't it weird that they've announced one playoff series and that's it? One playoff series.
Well, there's just a couple of divisions now that are finished with their regular season play, so they can prepare. Well, there's a couple other divisions that still have a handful of games.
Right, but the Bruins, Capitals, they announced that one, though, right? And that's it.
Yeah, because they're pretty much done now. That division is pretty much done.
The Central's done, too.
Right. See, I don't know what they're waiting on in the Central. I think they know, more or less. The other good thing is, with concerts and stuff, I mean, this is actually not a good thing, but there's not a lot of scheduled concerts right now. We hope that they will start being scheduled here very soon, but there's not a lot of building conflicts in the arenas, right? Which sometimes create strange scheduling situations where you got to wait a couple of days between games instead of just the play, day off. But I think it should work out pretty well, especially in the Carolina Predator series, because there's not an NBA team sharing either building.
True. Yeah.
Joe is upset with me.
Well,
he should be.
That was a foul. If there was any time to ever throw a flag, Josh Heupel wouldn't appreciate the flag because you would have gotten flagged.
I would have.
I don't even know. Like, was that one that it came out and you wanted to pull it back in, or it just kind of?
It was kind of like yesterday when I was forgetting about the St. Louis Blues.
And that was a double clutch. You didn't get that one all the way out.
No, I
before
didn't.
You realized that you had messed that one up. And they don't have a. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me.
So that was an up and down. That was a little bit of a travel there.
Yeah, that was a travel. Yeah, that was. Yeah, yeah, I'll take the travel, and then now I'm on the court, raising my hand, going, "Hey, my bad. That's on me."
So it looks
Josh
like
Heupel coming on.
Colleen, Josh Heupel.
Right now we're in a four-corner stall.
Yeah, we got him. Thank goodness. I mean, thank God coach is on the line. Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel.
We were spinning our wheels like you wouldn't believe. Yeah.
Thank goodness he wasn't listening because he probably would have hung up and he wouldn't have come on the show.
We would have had false start penalties. We were backed up. Yeah. It was first and 25.
Things a coach doesn't want.
Yeah, first and 30. That was not a good – it was not conducive for that drive. Coach, good morning. How the heck are you? Thanks for calling in.
Do I need to call a timeout for you guys? Or
yes,
what?
Please. I think so. We need a full timeout. Yes, I'm sorry. You're going to have to take an early timeout, but I think you're going to need to get one to get us back in shape. We went down, you know, we were waiting for you. We started talking about music, and it just went off the rails, and we were just going, please, for the love of God, Coach, call in and get us off this. By the way, your taste in music is what?
Man, a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? Old school hip hop, to a little bit of country. If I'm in my car, my kids are probably picking the music, so I'm listening to what they want to. But you got to be versatile in this role.
And you know what? As we get older, Josh, you know, with kids, we get a little bit hipper because we don't have a choice, right? They help us get a little bit hipper with the kind of the new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone from listening to kids' songs, kids' music in the back seat to becoming a little bit more hip here as my kids have gotten into the teen years. So, absolutely.
Well, this is the first time we've had the opportunity to talk to you since you've been named head coach at Tennessee One. Welcome to the state. Welcome here, and I know we're in Nashville and you're in Knoxville, but. You know, there's obviously a huge, huge fan base in this market, as you well know. What has it been like? What has it been like since you've taken over in Knoxville? And here we sit today in almost mid-May. How's it been so far?
Man, been a ton of fun. A lot of growth that's happened here inside of our program. You know, you get hired, you try to get to know your current players. You try to hire staff. You try to get going in the recruiting front. You're building it day by day, and at the end of spring ball, I look back and it's, I guess probably about 90 days at that point. And man, as a coach, you're never fully, I don't know what the right word is. You want to push forward, man. You're always pushing to be better, one day better. You're never completely satisfied with where you're at. But then I look back at how far we've come in that short amount of time too, and really proud of it. And we got a great staff. They're phenomenal people, phenomenal recruiters, great teachers of the game. They're about the right things. They're a huge part of why we've, you know, changed this culture so quickly, just the connection piece with our players. And at the same time, you know, as a staff, we're able to hold our kids to the higher standards and accountability's completely changed. And the player buy-in has been phenomenal, too. Our kids are competing at a really high level. I thought our last 4 days of spring ball were our absolute best, which you guys know, usually you get to the back half of spring ball, guys are just trying to get out and save themselves and stay healthy. Our guys are learning how to compete, man. And you got a lot of guys that are here right now. We'll start some of the workouts here at the beginning of June, but can't wait for the rest of our guys to come back here and be together as a football family again.
Did you change your approach to this spring than previous springs, or did you just, you know, take the same approach that you've been taking in years past, or did things change a bit now that you're an SEC coach, you're at UT, and obviously bigger platform, just everything is bigger, not to diminish where you came from, but I was curious, did you keep with what you've been doing in the past, or did things change now that you're at Tennessee?
I think you constantly evolve year to year. You learn what works, what doesn't. I think it's different with each group of players, and that changes every year inside of your program. I don't care if you've been there for 10 years. You got to constantly evolve, and you got to understand your kids. For us in year one, I think your messaging may be a little bit different because you're on the ground floor of what you're doing, and I think it's really important that you're clear and concise with what your expectations are. You know, your players understand the standards. They understand that you're going to hold them to that every day. And at the same time, you always judge kids for who they are today, not who they were yesterday. So you're constantly growing that way as a football program and as a team and individually as well. At the same time, I think you look at what you're doing schematically. You're always going to be different based on your personnel. And so we'll be different than – than we were at UCF, different than the other places that I've been to. There's still an overall philosophy of how you want to play, but you got to put your kids in a position to be successful. I think that's really important. And at the same time as you evolve and change and try to fit what you're doing to your players at your core, I don't think that I'm a whole lot different. Yeah, this is a bigger stage. That's why I wanted to be here, man. This is, you know, one of the top 10 traditions in college football, man. You look at the history of wins here, top 10 in NFL draft picks. You know, just having competed against this, having grown up watching this program, understand, you know, what the expectations are and want to be a part of that. And the passion and energy that surrounds our program is really unique and wanted to be here for those reasons.
You know a thing or two about quarterbacks. You've got quarterbacks to choose from, but what is Josh Heupel looking for in his quarterback? Ultimately, to get the nod to be week one starter, what do you need your quarterback to be, Coach?
Yeah, we've had big ones. We've had small ones. We've had fast ones. We've had slow ones. Really strong arms. Guys that are just accurate, don't have a great arm strength. Successful quarterbacks come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. At the end of the day, I think they got to be extremely competitive. They got to have first in, last out mentality. They got to transcend that competitiveness through your football team. At the end of the day, I think your team has to have great trust and confidence in them. And I think as a coaching staff, what that guy that earns that starting spot has done is he's earned your trust, man. You're putting the ball in his hands. He is your decision maker. He's got to be an extension of head coach, you an offensive play caller, and it's a guy that you believe that can lead your program and win, help you go win. And we had guys here this spring that have done a phenomenal job of, you know, gaining a grasp of what we do offensively, how to operate efficiently and effectively inside of our system. There's a ton of growth that will still happen here in May, June, and July before we get back to training camp. But the guy that rolls out there week one with the ball in his hands is somebody that's going to have earned our trust.
All right, before I turn it over, and I finish up on my end, I got to pause the football for just a second. There's like a huge baseball series going on. You know, Tennessee baseball's got it going on this year. You going to throw out the first pitch? I think you've already done that. How did that go? What did you think? We've done first pitches before. What about you? How did it go?
I did, man. Tennessee baseball is rolling. What a phenomenal atmosphere. The couple times I've been over to the baseball park here, just, coach has done a tremendous job of building that program. It's been a lot of fun. We got a chance to, just before we had a Saturday scrimmage, we went over there on a Friday night and got an opportunity for our entire team just to hang out, have, you know, barbecue essentially, man, hot dog, hamburgers, and hang out together, watch some ball before we went out and competed with each other the following day. I thought I did a great job. They brought me in middle relief. It was an 0-2 count. I kind of came in the outside. I got them swinging, so it was a positive experience.
That's awesome. So are you going to have any involvement in this big series coming up?
My family and I will be out at the park for sure.
Okay.
At some point this weekend. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
We're talking to Josh Heupel. He's the head football coach at the University of Tennessee, and you mentioned earlier about changing the culture, and you know, we hear the words buy-in a lot with coaches, but you know where this program, you know, has been at, and now that you've taken over and you're trying to change that culture, what are some things that you've seen early on out of your guys that make you think, yeah, they are listening to this new message and they are buying in and they want to be a part of taking Tennessee back to where it needs to be?
Yeah, words are words. Actions are going to speak a lot louder. That's the first thing I told this football team as I met them after I got announced. And, you know, we had a hour-long discussion just in the team room talking about, you know, who we are, who I am, and what we're going to be about, but also getting feedback from them. And I think that's the thing that I've loved from this group is they are prideful. They do care. They understand the expectations of putting a T on your helmet and running out through that power T and making a right hand turn to your sidelines, man. It's important to them, and they aren't satisfied with what's happened here recently either. They work extremely hard. They are competitive. They want to be really good on the field, they had to learn what accountability looks like and that it's real, and that's what's going to be inside of our program. those are things that they recognize we're missing. And, our first week here, I wouldn't put out the numbers here, but, man, we were not anywhere near what a Division I Power 5 football team looks like, just as far as who we are and how we interact and do the things the right way every day. But week two, man, it looked a lot better than week one. And week four was a lot better than week two. And we're operating at a level that gives you an opportunity to continue to grow and go compete. It's not the words, it's their actions. It's going to class. It's going to your mandatory meals. It's being at rehab. It's being on time to your meetings. It's in everything that you do. And how you do anything is going to be how you do everything. It's important to us that we build these young men the right way. And I've seen that here in the 3 months that I've been here.
What are some things, you know, we fans, of course, they want all the answers right away after spring ball. But, you know, I would say that any roster is probably going to be incomplete at that point. You're just starting the process. So what are some things when you get into fall camp and getting ready for the season that, you know, you saw signs of, but maybe you want to still see a little more improvement as you get ready for the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a coach, you get to the end of spring ball and you're at the end of April, and your players got a chance, especially in year one, especially with your young players on your roster every year. There's so much growth that can happen from May to June and July. You got a chance to transform yourself individually and come back a completely different football player. One, in how you change your body, but two, the ability to play the game at a really high level, meaning you start to understand your job in a completely different way. There's an opportunity when you get done with spring ball almost to sit back, catch your breath, and refocus on the football side of it, your playbook, what people are doing on the other side of the ball. You can become a football player that instead of thinking, you are anticipating and reacting in a completely different way by the time you get to training camp and kick off next fall. That's true for everybody on our roster at every position. We broke our spring down almost into thirds, first five, second five practices in the last five, and just to see our players climb at different positions throughout the course of spring ball, man, there's a lot of guys, if they can continue on that flight here through the summer, that have an opportunity to compete and play at a really high level next fall.
Coach, you had a lot of success as a player in college football at Oklahoma. How can you take some of your experiences, even though different times, kids are different, obviously, but take some of the experiences that you had as a player and try and illustrate some, you know, what it takes to win to some of your guys now, to help them kind of learn and walk in your shoes and see some of the experiences that you had?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is when I went to Oklahoma as a player, that's a program that was down on its luck a little bit. They hadn't been to a bowl game for, I think, five consecutive seasons. The energy that surrounded that program was completely different than it was when I finished up as a player. Who we were individually and collectively inside of a locker room were completely different. How did those things transpire? What did it take from inside of a locker room to change the culture? What was the coaching staff doing that clearly communicated, you know, the vision and the purpose and the way that we were going to work every single day and who we were going to be? And you know, that experience there as a player at that time and seeing the transformation of a program, I think, is absolutely critical to who I am and what we're doing here inside of this program. And I think those are great. Have a great relationship to who and what we can be and how we got to grow as a football program day in and day out and ultimately start competing for championships again.
University of Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel is with us. And Josh, I'm just going down memory lane here. Darren gave you the baseball reference, and Chase just asked you about your career at Oklahoma. You guys, of course, for non-historians, maybe some younger listeners, 2000, Oklahoma wins the national championship. Josh Heupel finishes second in the Heisman Trophy to a guy named Chris Winkie, who was a baseball player before he went back to college to play football, so he was a little older. I actually played with Chris in the minor leagues in the Blue Jays system. So it was quite the storyline, Josh. And so, I mean, that was a pretty big, obviously, any college football national championship is going to be. But there was a lot of buildup to that. Just that experience of that game. Like, what's your favorite memory? What do you take with you from that, like, even today when you go out and coach?
Yeah, man, obviously just a special year, right, with a special group of guys that goes and ultimately wins a national championship. But, you know, I think there's so many lessons that you learn. I think one of the great ones is even though we win the championship, right, it's so much about the journey, not necessarily the destination, man. All the things that you remember, the build up to it, and obviously, you know, winning the football game, but it's the relationships that matter, man. And you know, the build up at that time, if you weren't inside the state of Florida, you know, at that time, you know, the thought was that you couldn't win the national championship in some ways. And just a group of guys, man, that competed, believed in each other, and you know, found a way to be really tough and believe in one another, man. You know, Chris is a guy that, obviously, you know, being at the Heisman together, and then you're competing against on game day, and that was an opportunity for us as a team to do something pretty special.
Josh, I'm curious, too. You were talking about what you're looking for in a quarterback, and you say, you know, a lot of college quarterbacks are not rocket-arm guys that go on to play in the pros, and they can be tremendous winning college players. You know, how does it shape you when you're looking and recruiting? The fact that you were not, you know, a guy that went right to Oklahoma, five-star, like the kind of guys that they're getting today. You know, you went to Weber State. You had a different route to get to being a quarterback and winning a national championship. How does that shape how you look at players coming up through the ranks?
Well, I think you want to go recruit the biggest, brightest, and best that you can, right? At the same time, I think who you are as a person is ultimately going to dictate your flight as a player, man. You know, talent and not having the right mentality, attitude, work ethic is going to leave you as just a talent, man. And it's got to be about so much more than that. I think it's really important that you have people in place that can help develop the players inside of your program because I think that's critical to the lifeblood, man. And you know, there's going to be some special players that come in and make an immediate impact. At the same time, you got to be able to develop your roster. And you know, guys that work the hardest, the longest, other guys that ultimately are probably going to be the most successful too.
Last thing for you, Coach. I know every coach is getting asked about this, but it is becoming such a thing. We're trying to keep track of it every day with the transfer portal and things like that. How much of a challenge has that been for you, and how are you having to adapt to just the way the rules are going? I know there's probably a lot of good to it, but also some challenges that go with it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, it's about players and their experience, and we're going to support all the things that impact players in a positive way. The transfer portal, you know, you've seen some of our recent activity in it. I think it's an opportunity for us where we're at as a program to continue to add to our roster, guys that can make an immediate impact, guys that are going to be able to come in, make an impact this year, but also develop inside of your program. And so it gives you the ability to patchwork some just obvious needs, but also just to continue to add to your roster. And so it's been a positive for us here this spring.
If you notice, we waited till the end of the interview to ask you that because you never know how that question's going to go. So, hey, we really enjoyed the visit. Thanks for doing this. Don't be a stranger to our show. And once again, welcome. Thanks for doing this. We'd love to talk to you down the road.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You do the same. That is Josh Heupel, Tennessee football coach, and we do appreciate him joining us. We will come back, talk about something on the other side. Speaking of that transfer portal, there's been a lot of Tennessee fans up in arms about something that happened in the portal here recently. We'll discuss next on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't miss the cure for our friends. Cystic Fibrosis Golf Tournament, that's in 3 days. It's a 12-stones golf course in Goodlettsville. Some of the teams will include retired Titans football players who will be hanging around after the tournament for the after party, which includes a catered dinner and live music. Cure for Our Friends Golf Tournament still has a need for some silent auction items, so if you can help out, please do so. More information can be found at acureforourfriends.org. Thank you to Dad's Towing, Mitchell Motors, and Nashville Wrecker Services for being the tournament sponsor for the 2021 Cure for Our Friends Cystic Fibrosis Golf Tournament on May 15th. Remember, that is 3 days from now. That'll be a 12 Stones Golf Course in Goodlettsville. Good stuff there from Tennessee football coach Josh Heupel. We appreciate him joining us. Henry Toto made some news here over the weekend, this past weekend, where he said he will indeed choose Alabama. And that's where he's going to transfer. I guess he was picking between Alabama and Ohio State. He chose Alabama, and their stud linebacker, their five-star linebacker, has chosen to leave Tennessee, and he is going to play in Tuscaloosa for the Crimson Tide. Of course, this has a lot of Tennessee fans up in arms. They are not happy about this. He entered the transfer portal in late January after Jeremy Pruitt was fired, and he has decided to go to Alabama. So, like I said, a lot of Tennessee fans up in arms because of what Alabama means to Tennessee fans, right? That is a huge, huge rivalry. That is a team that they do not like. Those two schools do not like each other. And so they are up in arms. How should, is it fair or unfair for Tennessee fans to be upset that their stud linebacker has chosen to go play at Alabama?
Well, you guys remember I asked Vince about this the other day because yes. I thought about that. There was a day and time where, you know, that just flat out was not going to happen.
Correct.
Right? Not unless you were willing to sit out.
Well, it was a rule. You couldn't.
Right.
You couldn't. Coaches wouldn't even grant it. You couldn't do it. You weren't going
to
transfer.
But like they could even. There were even some things they could do to block you from.
Of course.
From doing it, right?
Yes.
Like it was. Like I don't know if I can't remember if it was that you could have to sit out for 2 years. I don't know what the rule used to be, but I think it was just sort of understood. You are not doing this.
Right. You're not going.
There's things that we will allow you to do and things that we will not, and that's one. So. It's a double-edged sword. So I would just ask, I've been on record saying from the start, I don't like this rule. I think you should have to take your time to transfer. I think it's a big thing. I think you should be encouraged to stick it out. And if you do want to transfer, I think sitting out a year can be a good thing for you, right? And it makes sure that you take time to weigh this decision before you just up and do it. And there's a lot of guys that have just upped and done it, right? And the portal is clogged up, right? Not everybody's coming out of that thing. But
right.
Toto is a great player. He's going to probably...
He's a stud.
He's going to play, right? He's going to be in the mix. It may not be every down. Like, he's going to have competition. Alabama always does.
Yeah, but he's going to be very good there.
He's going to be really
sure
good
he is.
There.
So it's a double-edged sword. If you've been on the record and you're for it, you're a Tennessee fan, you know, you're going to be excited when you get a guy from Alabama.
Sure.
That's going to happen, right? Somebody from Alabama is going to transfer to Tennessee someday.
Is it okay
when Cade Mays, you know, was set free, right? And no Tennessee fan was like, well, this isn't fair. You know, he should have to sit out.
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Now, did he sit out? That was before the rule, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he sat out or not, but same school.
Didn't he have the red shirt?
He may have.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Surely, I mean, the rule was back then you had to redshirt, didn't you?
I would think so, yes.
Unless you got a waiver.
He wasn't a grad transfer. I don't think he got a waiver. So, yeah, I guess.
I think there was some time in between.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But nobody was complaining about that.
Well, he went to
junior college?
He went to junior college.
Did he? Okay.
So there's what happened in between. Okay.
Yep.
But I don't see how you could be mad. You could be mad at the rule, but you can't be mad at the decision because that's the freedom
Alabama?
That college players have been granted now.
Well, I've been one saying like I think everyone should get one, and I stand by that rule. I know it's going to create the wild, wild west, and it already has, and I get all that. But if you are a supporter of the rule and a supporter of that, the student athlete has the opportunity to choose, and that if they want to change their decision and move one time, then you have to accept the rule for everything that comes with it, and that's what I've done. Duval's fans have a right to be upset with him for going to Alabama? If you're a fan, sure. Like, you can be mad all you want. Boo him when he comes back to Neyland Stadium. But it was his decision. It wasn't your decision. And he has elected to leave the program. So, therefore, any loyalty he had to the program is severed at that moment. So, he can go make his own choice. And for him, for his future endeavors, he made a pretty good choice by going to Alabama. So, but I get it. I understand the outrage of how could, you know, so are you basically saying, like, you can leave, but you can't go to a rival because you're true to the orange? Doesn't work that way. He's leaving the orange. He can go wherever he wants.
I think that ultimately that's it. But this is another thing that to me tears at the fabric of why there's such a great following for college football and college basketball to begin with. Is you just don't have as much continuity now. Football, because you're not going to go pro after your freshman year, it's a little bit of a different animal. There should be some more continuity. But the fact is, this musical chairs of players going back and forth, it tears at the heart of why we love college football. College basketball is down the road. It's going to take another step back because of this, where you got half a roster turning over every year with more programs now. Not just the teams that are losing the one-and-dones and the marquee players in the game. That's taken its toll over the years. Now you're going to have another level of just good players, regular run-of-the-mill good players, shuffling from one school to the other. It's carving up the sport.
Let me just say this. I understand Tennessee. My wife is a Tennessee grad, and I get it, and she's not in this boat. She's kind of checked out. She's basically like, tell me when you're good again. She's endured a lot of pain, like a lot of Vols fans. So I don't think she's...
You don't know pain.
Invested. Well, their level of pain, Willie.
Right, exactly.
For their level of pain. Remember, she grew up in the sweet spot, right? She was there in the sweet spot. So it's been a whole lot of bad since she left that campus. So, look, I understand it. Look, that's what makes rivalries cool. I completely understand that. You should have bad blood. You shouldn't like the other school. That's why it's called a rivalry. That's what's fun about it. And there's no doubt that there's no love lost between Alabama and Tennessee fans, even though Alabama has been the dominant one, and it really hasn't been a rivalry in the last 15 years. It's been all Alabama, and it's not even been close. I mean, the games haven't even been competitive. So, but it's still a rivalry. It's not like you just change that as a fan and say, well, you know, I just don't have those same feelings anymore because, you know, they're beating our brains in, or on the other end, we just beat their brains in. No, you still feel the same way. So I understand people being upset. But here's the thing. You guys know this. I've been pretty consistent. People that say, I think it's the lamest thing and the dumbest thing ever when you hear fans, you know, come on, look, if you're a fill-in-the-blank fan, you support them no matter what. Bunk. That's ridiculous. That's an absolute I said bunk. An absolute asinine statement. Like, you just have your head in the clouds. Like, so you just accept anything in life because you just root for it, and hey, whatever happens, I'll just keep rooting for it. You can do whatever you want to me, and I'll just keep rooting for you. You just do whatever you want, and I'll just keep rooting for you. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, you should hold franchises accountable. You don't owe them your life savings. You don't owe them your time and your money, no matter what. If they suck at their job, you should send a very strong message to them to get better at their job. I think fans that have that mentality, that is weak. And go ahead. That's your prerogative. You do it. You do that in life? So you just say, hey, you know, hey, job, I'm here. I work for you, so I'll do whatever you say. And that's just it. I mean, I support you. You give me a check. And so whatever you do, it's okay. Life, marriage, friendships, really? Is that how it works? No, just beat me down. Do whatever you want. I don't care. I'll just keep supporting you. That's ridiculous. You should hold them accountable. Why is this any different? Henry Toto, what does he owe Tennessee? He did. He played there. He's a 5-star recruit that chose Tennessee. And there was a lot of big schools after him. And he chose Tennessee. And he went there to do what? How was that experience?
Went there to win.
How was that experience?
Wasn't winning.
Does he owe Tennessee something?
So if you don't win, you leave? I don't.
That
I don't,
was an absolute.
I don't buy that.
What do you mean you don't buy that?
Not everybody can win.
Well, good. I mean, that's fine. He doesn't owe them anything. He owes them nothing. He did. He went there. He played his heart out, and they can't get their stuff straight. Okay? If we've been talking about it for a decade. You know what? Get your house in order. You know what? If your program was like it's been in the past, if you had your stuff together, he wouldn't be leaving. Get your stuff together. He doesn't owe you anything. He already did. He committed to you. He gave you his heart out.
Then why didn't the whole team leave? I mean, that's basically what you're saying is they didn't win, so everybody should leave.
Well, if they were good enough to get picked up by Alabama, they probably would. But I don't think they were.
That's a good point. But, like, part of me, I look at it. Now, the coaches changed and all of that, and, look, I get that. And this is happening. This is happening across the country in a lot of different sports. Right, coach leaves, not winning, let's leave. Isn't there something to be said for seeing it through? And by the time you leave, you have a great experience because you went through the tough times and you were part of a great turnaround?
How do you know he had a great experience? What if he had a miserable experience under Jeremy Pruitt and his faulty staff? What if he had an absolute miserable
Pruitt's
experience?
Gone. I thought he was leaving because he was loyal to Pruitt.
See, that's kind of what I think.
But what if his experience was awful?
Maybe it'll be different with Josh Heupel.
Right, then stick around and see what Josh Heupel has. I think he's not getting on him.
He's just one of hundreds of kids that are doing this. I just think sometimes, see what happens. Stick it out. You know, I wish more people would do that and not just be like, I'm just going to jump to another team because they're going to win more. I don't know what the motivation is.
They've been a dysfunctional family. They change coaches every 2 to 3 years. I mean, kids have the right not to accept that. That's not what they signed up for.
And that's my whole thing.
Like you're changing coaches every 2 to 3 years. You want kids just to stick around in your mess all the time? I mean, it's been an absolute mess for 12 years. It's been a splatter show in Knoxville. And you just think kids owe it to them to stick around? How about you get your house in order? How about you fix things? How about you do things the right way? Figure some things out for a change. Keep a president there. Keep an AD there. Keep a coach there. Do some winning. I mean, how about quit changing everything every 2 to 3 years?
Well, the only thing I'm going to say to that is if you think the grass is always greener on the other side, you're wrong.
Well, let me tell you, it's greener in Tuscaloosa. I can promise you that.
Well, but he's going to have some challenges he hadn't had before. Now, he might be good enough where it doesn't matter, right? He'll jump right in there, and he'll be an ace, and everything will work out. But there's a new set of challenges.
Willie, I just pulled up a picture. Bryant-Denny Stadium actually is – the grass is greener than Neyland Stadium.
It actually is.
So there's some truth to that.
We'll see. I bet you some people that have transferred from Alabama that didn't think it was all that great.
Because
they thought they were going to be Mr. Everything, and they dominated in high school. Everything was great, and then they got to Alabama, and they didn't play. So they took off.
But we always paint that picture like that's the reason. Like, that's not always the reason. Like, it's always the go-to paint the picture like, he's not tough enough. You know, he's not starting right away, so he's leaving. Does that happen? Yes, it does. But let's stop painting that picture with a broad brush like that's the reason every kid leaves. It's not. It's not because they're not tough enough and because they're not starting right away or they don't like competition. Let's stop doing that. Okay, that's not the reason every kid transfers. It's sometimes. And you know what? Those kids probably fail at every stop because that mentality is a bad mentality. But it's not every kid doing that. That's not they're not running from something, every kid. Come on. Let's stop doing that.
I think
to these
that's
kids.
Probably part of why
they have the right. Some of these kids are really smart. They have a brain, and they can figure things out. And you know what? And maybe there's been abusive coaches behind the scenes or an abusive doctor behind the scenes at that school, and the school's done nothing about it. They have the right to leave. Okay, there's other circumstances that warrants
they do.
kids leaving.
If that's the case, but that's not why they're leaving in a lot of cases. Now, I think that's probably what stings some for the Tennessee fans is they're losing a guy that, number one, is a great player, but he's also seems to be a good guy, right? He's like, your heart gets broken a little bit. You want to leave? Like, I know Vanderbilt basketball fans are still trying to get over Dylan Dessou. Like, they had just gotten to like him. Like, my gosh, this guy has gotten so much better. He's playing great. You know, why would you want to leave us? You know, there's kind of a heartbreak that you have when you follow a school and a guy that you really have grown to like wants to leave. You know, that's hard to handle.
Right, but I mean, you get to like a coach and the coach leaves too. I mean, that's just a part of it. And I think it's why I have said everybody gets one. And when you use your one, you use your one. If you try to do it again, you got to sit out. But that's where you have to be mature. That's where you have to grow up. This is a big decision. It's a big decision deciding which school you're going to go to in the first place. And if you get there and it's just not the right fit, or the coach leaves or whatever, and you go, you know what, I'm gonna use my one, then you have to weigh that decision just as much, if not more, than you did before. But and to Darren's point, I think a lot of these kids, they're smart, and they have the smart people around them too, that if they're going to do this, they're going to try and weigh every possible option. Now, it could be they run into the same thing, that, you know, if I commit to Tennessee and Josh Heupel, and then a year later he's out, and it's like, well, all right, I'll go to Missouri and play for Eli Drinkwitz, and then a year later he's out. I mean, that happens, and that's the risk that you're going to have to take.
You have to think beyond what coach am I playing for. You got to think about the school.
But a lot of times that's
living,
where you're
all
why
of
you're
those
going
things
there.
you should be accounting for it beyond just who the coach is and just if you won games.
But the days of yes, do you have players that go, I want to go play for Tennessee because I want to play for Tennessee? Sure, absolutely you do. But 9 times out of 10, the kids are going to play for the coach or a position coach.
Bad thinking.
But that's the way it is. That's how it is today.
Okay, I'm just saying that's wrong thinking. It's not, you're gonna get yourself into trouble if you're just thinking the coach is automatically gonna be there the entire time. That's just not how it works. It's not how the world is.
I understand, but that's just the way
it is. You should go
to
a school because you like the school.
If I were playing today,
that sounds
great.
If you were doing a promo for the school, that sounds great, and you should be in charge of that. But I hate to break it to you, but that's not.
I'm not saying
kids.
Solely because
remember,
of the
kids
the,
are choosing
the coach
schools
absolutely
because
has
of
a lot to do with it. But
what
it's
shoe
got
company
to be,
they're
it's got to be a combination.
With.
It's a combination
right.
of a
right.
lot
you
of
have
things.
Kids choosing schools because of shoe companies,
right?
And you want them
right.
to worry
dumb.
About the biology department right. and the nice dormitories. I mean, that's just it sounds great.
That's
it's
where
awesome.
You're going to live. You're going to live on that. You're not living with the shoe guy. Right? It's dumb. I know this is how it works. You're not trying to convince me of something that's not happening. I know that that's why some of this stuff happens. It's dumb. You're going to live at this place. So where the dorm is, you know, where on the map it is, you know, what are your surroundings? That matters.
Well, you're
right?
going and to
if
live
you, if you
with
don't
that
think
coach.
Of, I'm just saying think about these things. Don't just think of yeah, this coach runs this offense, and I'm going to fit into this offense, and this is the guy. That's part of it. That's a big part of it, but it's not the only part of it. That's my point.
You're going to live with that coach and those coaches more than anybody else while you're on that campus. So you better be going there for them because that's who you're going to be around
it's a
all
big,
the time.
It's a part of the equation. It's not the full equation.
You're going to spend more time around them than anybody else. You better like them. You better be going there for them because that's who you're going to be around all the time.
Not if they leave.
Well, you can't control that. You can't predict how that's going to play out. But
exactly.
You have, but that has to be
that's
a big part
point.
Of the equation because that's who
of
you're going to be around.
Part of the, a part of the equation, yes. Not the full equation. There are some players that have gone to a school, played a sport for a year or two. The coach changes, and their career becomes a lot better when the new coach comes in. Because the new coach realizes something that the old coach didn't, even though the old coach is the one that recruited him. That does happen.
The way I look at it is if kids are doing the painting the picture with the broad brush, like all these kids are not tough enough. They're leaving because they didn't win out the starting job and they want to play and they're leaving. You know what? Coaches are better off with those kids leaving anyway. You don't want those kids on your roster anyway. If they're running from something, that's not kids you want sticking around. Why do you want those kids? Why do you want kids that are just looking for the easy route? Good, transfer, get out of here. Go run.
You wouldn't want them
you're gonna be running your whole life. You're going to be running at your job. You're going to be running all your whole life. If everything's got to be perfect for you or you're leaving, good luck. Good luck in life, kid. I mean, you don't want those kids on your roster anyway. You should be encouraging the transfer portal. Get out of here. Why would you want them on your roster? You can't win with those kids. You want everything handed to you? And you want them to stick around? No, thanks. I'd be like, there's the door. See ya. You'll probably be looking for another school after that, too. You can't win with those kids. So good riddance. Well, I don't know why you'd want them to. Why would coaches want kids like that to stick around? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
Get lost. Okay, fine. You don't want to tough it out? Fine. You don't want to have to work for your spot? Oh, you don't want to put in the work while this other guy's outworking you? You don't want to do that? You just think because you had more stars than him, you deserve to start? You don't like it? You're going to pout? You're going to go run to mommy and daddy? Get out of here.
Yeah,
I'm fine. And leave.
So I'm sure me as the coach on the other side said, oh, yeah, I'll take that kid. He's got great attributes. He just runs at the first sign of trouble. Yeah, give him on my team.
And then you'll find out that this is in his DNA.
Right. So that's why a lot of guys get left in that portal. I don't think there's any games going on in that portal. There are some kids that don't get another shot. That's another one. You might want to think about things before jump into that portal.
But that's the risk.
That's their fault. They've got only themselves to blame.
That's why I'm just pointing this out, that somebody is preaching the wrong stuff. There's too many people saying, yeah, go to the portal, man. It'll be so – instead of just saying, hey, wait a minute. Before you do this, let's think about this, right? And back it up. Before you make a choice coming out of high school, if you're fortunate enough to get a scholarship, which is not easy to do, think about where you want to go and where you want to be beyond just the coach or the shoes or the uniforms, whatever it is that is on the surface, the appeal.
You know, it just hit me. Somebody around a college campus, have they opened a bar called the Portal yet?
Great idea.
I probably shouldn't have put that out there on radio, but I just gave somebody
a great
idea.
You just gave somebody a great idea. You just made somebody a lot of money.
We did see a plot of land right across the street from Third and Home, you know, kind of a field, but it's going in there. There you go. Put the portal.
The portal. I got a text on my text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How about creating an environment where no one wants to leave?
That's kind of what I'm saying. How about you make it enticing? How about you make it where people want to be there and they're not looking for other options? They're not looking for greener grass. How about you keep your yard nice and green, right? Hire a landscaper.
And you'll still have some kids that want to get out.
Put some sprinklers in there. You know what? They're not always looking for greener grass. How about do that?
Can't do it.
Sure you can. Sure you can. Yeah. By the way, the Rangers –
somebody's going to lose. So somebody is losing at all. Every time somebody wins, somebody loses. So you can't have this beautiful utopia on every program. There's challenges, adversity.
Augusta
in every program.
Does. They do. Augusta has utopia. They do. Go to the Masters. You'll see. It's like you don't even believe it's real. I'm just telling you, okay. It does exist.
Well, can you transfer to Augusta?
There's a lot of people who would if they could.
Do they have scholarships available?
Boy. Boy.
Who do they play in week three?
Wouldn't that be a sought-after scholarship, huh?
What offense do they run?
How many people will be signing up for Augusta? The
New
York Rangers,
natural grass.
They have fired Dave Quinn and three assistants, so they have cleaned house in New York.
I mean,
cleaned house.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I thought they had a good year. They play in a very tough division.
What am I missing? Where they have literally just thrown a big stick of dynamite down and just blown it to smithereens. Like what? You would think they won 10 games this year.
They took a I do not understand that. I do not. They had a good year.
Well, not according to their owner.
Yeah, cleaned house.
Mr. Dolan.
Your favorite.
Willie, tell everybody about loans and do it pronto, please.
All right, we'll do. Loan pronto. If you need to get some cash out for the home improvement project, this is what you need to listen to. Loan pronto. They can make it happen with the zero-cost refi program. So they can make it happen quick. So if you've been thinking about it, we know in the last year, maybe some plans have been on hold. But this is something that can help you put a plan into action now. the zero-cost refi program, it's now here. It's changing forever how you get a home loan. Loan pronto, lower rates, no lender fees, and an all-digital, no-hassle process. That's the key. That's the breakthrough Loan Pronto has made. All-digital, no hassle. So now you can refinance your mortgage, get cash out of your home's equity, so people can get $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, whatever it might need for that home improvement project you've got, whether it's a home office, a remodeling of your kitchen, pay off credit cards, whatever the case might be, get that cash out. It's kind of like a stimulus check, right? And it's a reinvesting in your home. Loan Pronto, zero cost refi. 615-499-5780 is the number. Call and get more info on it. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. No cash refi. Not available on all loans.